When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
As more sectors across Ireland are reopening, the COVID-19 pandemic unemployment payment is changing. If you're currently receiving this payment, the amount you receive will change from the 16th of November. To find out more about how these changes will affect you, visit gov.ie/PUP changes. A Government of Ireland initiative brought to you by the Department of Social Protection.
Welcome to the Blood and Mud podcast. My name is Lee. This is the podcast that might be the Ospreys coach, but nobody has told us yet. Are you the Ospreys coach, Josh?
I mean, I haven't been either fired or hired, but you could say the same about Alan Clark. So, I mean, we all exist in a state of, are we or aren't we the Ospreys coach limbo?
I mean, I'm not the Ospreys coach.
Yeah.
So that's two of us, like, maybe, who aren't the Ospreys coach. So they could just clue us in who else might not be. We'll be winning, won't we?
It's like inverse Spartacus, isn't it? You know, I'm not the Ospreys coach. No, I'm not the Ospreys coach. No, I'm not the Ospreys coach. And we'll just go through the entire population of the Western world until we eventually... Matt Sherritt's not the Ospreys coach. You know, who... I mean, who is? I mean, I'll tell you who is in a couple of minutes, but, you know.
Right. Yeah. So there you go. Apologies for missing the podcast last week.
Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff going on and we had to just turn it in, basically. So I do apologise.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, so much had happened on that Monday that both of us had... Yeah. Brains like lobby.
Imagine
so basically we couldn't do anything
sketchy,
with it.
Imagine how sketchy we usually are.
Oh, and then it would have been spectacular.
Some real bad sketchiness on top of that. And yeah, it's not good, is it?
A lot of shit going on. But however, I will say that because we didn't have a podcast, I did have a chance to listen to Stephen Jones on the Times podcast last week, which was... Well, it was absolutely remarkable, wasn't it?
I think, honestly, it was one of the most bizarre things I've ever heard. A man having a full-on emotional breakdown over the prospect of a millionaire being painted as in some way not a saint. upset him to his very core. He's a fucking twat, isn't he? Like, a proper, like, shill for the man.
Yeah, which is really not a good look. For a journalist, it's really not a good look, is it? Being a...
For a man that literally has, and I know I say this all the time, but has rugby's most controversial and influential columnist, or whatever the fuck it is, at the top of his Rugby World fucking spunkings every month. And it's like... Fucking hell. By the way, if anyone who works for Rugby World listens to this, save yourself however I would imagine above the standard fucking word rate that is costing you every month. just shit can it and spend the money on proper journalism instead, because holy fuck, he is just increasingly turning into a just comedy irrelevance.
Yeah.
Screaming and farting and
shitting. He's like Father Jack with a slightly larger biography. Biography. That's not the word. What am I thinking of?
Trophy cabinet?
No, words. Biography is wrong. What did I meant to say?
Vocabulary.
Thank you. Jesus Christ. He's definitely got a bigger vocabulary than me right now. It's only been a week.
But yeah, it's a remarkable piece of audio where Lawrence Dallaglio is the only sane person in that room by the end of it.
I love the bit where he argues about who broke the story first in Owen Slot.
I know. It's like, guys,
you find Sundays before Monday, Slotty.
He's like, all right, boys. Well, can we re-zip here and get this off the table? It's just...
How do you know he's gone for more money? That was about Elliot Daly. How do you know he's gone for more money then? How do you know that? Well, because I'm a director at Wasps, and therefore... You don't know what you're saying, do you? Yeah, but I could tell you he went for more than he's on now, Stephen. Well... So you're telling me, Stephen, that everybody would be at Saracens if they weren't paid extra? Yes. I'm so fucking loopy, I could say. Fucking amazing.
It takes a lot to be that much of a like a shill for the man, but fair play to him. He absolutely...
He's adopted a position and he's sticking to it. And
he's absolutely sticking to it. He's a man of convictions, and those convictions are always being on the side of millionaires. So fair play.
Meanwhile, back at this podcast, I am Lee. And over there is...
I am Josh, still.
And you can get in touch with me at Blood and Mud or Lee at bloodandmud.com. And Josh, you are available.
At Josh Gardner, at Rugby Shirt Watch. My DMs aren't open, but I'm thinking about making my DMs open as a sort of crisis thing for, disgruntled Ospreys former staff members. Three of whom have followed me this week. I'm not going to say which three. So just reach out and tell me stuff because it's funny.
Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make the Ospreys a better world if you can by reaching out to Josh.
Yeah.
We are on Acast. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Patreon.com.
We are.
Thank you to everybody who once again contributes, even though we skip weeks. We have got two episodes coming up this week, though. As we speak, the great Professor Tony Collins is currently clearing his larynx and making some notes about rugby history in Japan, because we'll be doing that on Saturday, that's Wednesday.
A more sensible podcast would have done that before the Rugby World Cup. We said no.
We said no, not a chance, no. I got other
stuff
going on.
We're going to do it afterwards. Yeah.
It's Cyber Monday as well, Josh. Have you bought any Cyber... We haven't done a Cyber Monday discount for Patreons. Have you involved yourself in Cyber Monday?
No, I have spent a lot of money at Amazon in the last, week or so, just buying Christmas shit. I bought my mother a hairdryer today. That wasn't Cyber Monday related, but, I'll say it. Why
people
not?
People say this to me, don't they? They say, what do you want for Christmas? I don't want anything.
I said, I buy all the things I want.
Because I have a Father Christmas. He's called Amazon Prime, and he brings me everything I need within 24 hours of me wanting it.
Exactly.
In fact, I think he's more magical than Father Christmas, Amazon Prime. How do they do it? How do they get it all in a van into your house?
Sometimes he does it same day, and that really is magic.
Not where I live, but I'll take it. But I see what you're saying.
You live in a fairly major metropolitan city. Some of the things you can get on the same day.
Cyber Monday. I just want that to be a load of like murderous robots killing people in shopping centres. That's what I say. That's what I want Cyber Monday to be.
Yeah, I mean that's what science fiction has told me that Cyber Monday should be.
Absolutely.
But apparently, Battlestar Galactica is not a documentary. So
Anyway. Back in the Patreon, the VIP lounge, you can sign up, and thanks to everybody that does. We've also got the VIP lounge, which I'll be honest now, the VIP lounge is so full of absolute legends who want to contribute a little bit more towards us to give us their support. It's standing room only. We're going to have to put a mezzanine floor in or something.
I think we're going to have to knock through,
We can use the Patreon money to get the plans drawn up.
It's a hell of a job getting planning permission, though.
Hell of a job. So everybody's in there. Anyway, the people who stepped forward and said, you know what, I'm not going to do the minimum amount, I'm just going to come in and go straight into VIP, is basically people, this, since we were last on, is Scott, Hamish Allen. So thank you very much to you two. And I'd also like to say a very, very big shout out to Ollie White, who should really have changed his name to Ollie White Christmas, as he slipped a little extra into our stocking.
Oh, hello.
Hello. For the festive period, he said, I've seen you $5 VIP, lads, and I'm going to give you some more because it's nearly Christmas. So, Ollie, you're a fucking ledge.
Honestly.
You can be first on the mezzanine floor when we built it.
That's melted my Grinch-like heart, that.
It has, yeah.
A little bit.
It has. It has. He's got a bit of a faraway look in his eyes, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to lie to you.
I had to do the, and in case I don't see you, have a nice Christmas thing today to somebody for the first time.
Did you just felt,
oh, fuck me. Yeah. I mean, it was my hairdresser, so I am not going to see him before Christmas.
I was going to say, you look a bit high and tight today.
I'm high and tight today. You know, I'm not the sort of person that has monthly haircuts. So, you know, it's...
I have to, because if I leave it beyond 4 or 5 weeks, I'm not being funny, I break the clippers of the barber. I've got quite a lot. I've got very thick hair. If I leave it six weeks, my barber needs to fucking lie down after he's done with my hair.
See, anybody who had come to our last pod meetup would have known all about this, because we had some great hairline chat.
Because this is what happens when we get together. So,
yeah.
Anyway, moving on, we've got a player spotted, a couple actually. You've got some, I think. Catherine Kavanagh.
I've got a cornucopia, but yes.
Catherine Kavanagh emails, friend of the pod, gets in touch, and she says, I'm flying to Lyon on Friday evening on a packed BA flight from Heathrow. Flying BA, Catherine, you give yourself away there. From Heathrow. You're not on the shit-kicking flight from Gatwick. Yeah.
Always if you can.
I was seated across the aisle from a very sharply dressed, clean-cut, and let's face it, handsome fella, (hello), she says. I had to turn around every so often as one of my mates was sitting in the row behind me, and in doing so, I kept catching the fella's eye, which is a bit awkward. He said, I took note of the army haircut, the tan, the expensive ear pods, and the bolt upright stance. Sounds like me looking at you now, Josh. I'm not being funny. It doesn't.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, this just sounds like, I don't remember being on a flight to Lyon last week, but you know.
Anyway, Catherine says, I'm not going to lie, boys. He was fierce, easy on the eye. He was also clearly wondering what this middle-aged Irish bird was doing staring at him. The bird, she wrote bird, not me. I am not being that guy.
Yes.
She said, I knew that I knew him, but couldn't work out who he was. When we landed, he was out of his seat like a scalded cat and sprinting through arrivals. It was then I noticed his EPCR branded jacket. Boom, said I. He's here for the rugby in some formal capacity. Still couldn't place him. She said, but lo and behold, when we and our hangovers rolled up to our seats at the Stade Gerland the following day, if it wasn't our travelling companions taking centre stage on the pitch, penalising the Leinster scrum off the park. Yes, indeed, it was the dishy, slightly edgy, whistling Exeter native Luke Pearce.
Oh, hello.
Luke Pearce, handsome close-up. Shocker.
I mean, is it just me? Is he tiny? I always look at Luke Pearce and just think he must be tiny.
I think I get that impression.
I mean, to be, you know, tiny people can be handsome too.
Of course he can.
I'm not saying it, but, you know, it's, yeah. I mean, I suppose he has got a certain, like,
you've got a clean cut kind of, yeah.
Clean cut,
sinewy sort of handsomeness to him.
Yeah.
Anyway, she finishes off, says, the poor bastard must have spent the entire flight terrified that two leery Irish women across from the aisle were either going to bribe him, threaten him, or worse still, instruct him forcefully how to do his job. Must be shit being spotted as a ref, mustn't it?
Honestly.
Maybe that's why Piper has decided to do a picture elbowing somebody, thought, because I can't be fucking doing with them mithering me about decisions and stuff and telling me where I got it wrong. I'll just do this photo they want. Yeah.
Yeah, the advantage is now, Jakob Piper's never going to have to like turn down a selfie or anything ever again, because he can just go, look, lads, I've got in trouble with this.
You know what it is, lads. I'm just going to
basically giving himself a pass. Yeah.
Another spotter is Sally Claire Davis gets in touch. Hello, Sally.
So
and she says, I did a yoga class right next to Rupert Moon for an hour. Does this count as a player spotted if he retired in 2002?
Absolutely, it does.
Yes, it fucking does, Sally.
Of course,
well,
it
can we
does.
Just rewind a bit? Rupert Moon does yoga.
Of course he does. Rupert fucking Sinjin
Sebastian fucking Barnabas Moon.
Of course he does yoga.
I just can't imagine that massive pair of fucking listeners with that stupid face doing a downward dog or whatever. I'm saying it like I know what a downward dog is, but
I mean, you could. It's, I imagine it's what it sounds like. It's a dog pointing downwards. Surely,
is that what yoga is? Just bringing animals along and moving them into positions.
You can have puppy yoga apparently.
Oh, come on.
Where you do yoga surrounded by puppies, which just seems like an excuse to hang out with some puppies, to be honest.
This century fucking sucks. Chapter 572. Anyway, you've got some spotted, I believe.
I've got the fucking cornucopia of players spotted because...
You had a few for last week, didn't you? Then we had to call it off, so you've been storing these up.
Last Sunday evening, me and my lovely wife decided that we'd sort of get away just for an evening of, you know, being in a hotel somewhere with a nice sort of spa facility type sketch.
Nice.
And because it's quite close and a little tip for you listeners, it's cheap as fuck. we were like, oh, we'll go to the Vale. Now, because I didn't really care about the Barbarians game yesterday, I sort of forgot that Wales were going to be in camp on the Monday. So in that 24 hours, I basically saw everyone from the Wales team. But interestingly, Wales camp kicked off, I think, on Monday.
Hmm.
And I think the players got their first thing. Ken Owens, Sunday night.
Yeah.
I'm coming out of the pool, walking back through the gym. Who's walking through the gym? The Sheriff of Bloody Carmarthen himself, saying hello, waving to people. I think Ken's clearly gone, you know what? I've got a hard week of camp ahead here. I'm going to check myself in the night before.
It's a long drive from Carmarthen. You know that roundabout at the end of the A48 can be like, you don't want to be fucking about with that, do you?
I'm gonna have a nice night in the Vale before all the boys turn up tomorrow, and then I'm gonna go and have a basically what I'm telling you is that I was minutes if I'd hung around in the sauna jacuzzi area for maybe five more minutes, me and the sheriff would have been in a sauna or a jacuzzi together. And
imagine the possibilities.
I just feel like I've missed a massive opportunity.
What would you have done? You know what? I know what I'd have done. What would you have done?
I mean, I would have almost certainly acted like I didn't know who he was. And then at the end, I would have just gone, good luck on the weekend, Ken. And then we'd have walked out of the sauna together as friends, obviously.
I'd have just gone, should we do green, green grass of home while we're sat here, Ken? Towels
to be fair,
on between men, you know what I mean?
He absolutely looked like he would have been well up for it. There were people in the gym and they were just like, all right, Ken. And he's like, all right, there, how's it going? He was.
I love him. He's just a legend.
I adore him. I adore him even more. And then on the morning after, as we were leaving, I very nearly killed Jake Ball with my car. So, you know.
You don't want road rage by Jake Ball, do you?
That's the thing. It was entirely his fault because they were all the squad was walking down from the high performance centre, which is on the other side of the car park in the Vale, and I was coming to drive out, and he basically just wasn't looking where he was going and just stepped out right in front of my car.
Wow.
And they went, shit, sorry. And then I sort of ushered him across, and he sort of sheepishly did that sort of thing where you know you fucked up and you kind of just sort of
you want to lean out
the
window and go,
the
you
road.
Fucking Kent.
You fucking twat.
No, you didn't want to do that. I don't blame
him. No, absolutely didn't want to do that. He's a very big bloke. But, yeah, so, you know.
So there you go. Ledge, I think what you could describe as a litany of spotteds there. I hope you're still with us out there.
Yeah, I mean.
But if you have got play spotted, I've had so many this last month or so. And basically, I think I'm going to have to make a rule that if you live in Bath, you're not allowed to send them in anymore. Because it just becomes too much. So.
Yeah, I mean, there is no city in the world where you see more rugby players than Bath.
I think a Bath and Leamington Spa rules would have to be brought in, I think.
Yes, 100%, yeah. But both towns where there's nothing else to do.
But yeah, so there will be some... No, honestly, I'm joking. Please keep sending them in. We'd love to receive them. But I'm just saying, if you haven't heard yours yet, it's because there are staggering numbers coming through. So, which is lovely. We love a bit of engagement, don't we?
Indeed, absolutely.
Shall we talk some news? News.
I mean, the first bit of the biggest news today, I think, undoubtedly, is it is with great sadness, but also great pleasure that we bid farewell to Mad Murad Boujalal, who...
No, I have actually missed this. What's this?
Yes,
go on, has he gone?
He's flogged his last few shares in... Well, his controlling stake in Toulon has been flogged to another rich man. So after God knows how many years, Mad Murad is no longer.
See, I'm worried now because he's got no skin in the game. He can now just like I don't know, literally launch missiles at things.
Yeah, it does make you worry what he's going to do next. You know, but yeah.
I a lie. Mad Men joke, yes. Then, everyone.
Yes. No, but it's interesting. It's interesting that, you know, he obviously was the fucking engine behind Toulon winning all those trophies. You know, what feels like a long time ago now, but really wasn't.
No, it wasn't at all, no.
But, you know, the presence, the arrival of CVC, the arrival of real big money into rugby has made Toulon increasingly unable to be what they once were. And he, as a rich man, has gone, you know what, I'm too poor to do this anymore. Toulon finished 10th last year. You know, he hasn't got the funds to bankroll another title-winning side, so he's sold up to Bernard Lemaitre, who's a pharmaceutical multimillionaire, who already owned a share of Toulon and now owns the whole thing. He's worth 200 million euros, apparently, so, you know, it's not Steve Lansdowne money, is it?
No.
It's not Bruce Craig money.
Very few things are.
Well, no, indeed.
The operating national debt of Botswana is not Steve Lansdowne money. No. It's fucking unbelievable how much money that guy's got.
Yeah. Thanks to my several pension plans that I've had over the last 10 or so years. But yeah, so a weird sort of, you know, Mourad has not always been rugby's most sane person, or indeed a good thing for rugby.
I was going to ask my next question. Was he a good thing or a bad thing? Was he shit or was he good for rugby?
I think ultimately history will not look on him well, because he, in many ways, was the first of the sort of rugby team as vehicle for my own wealth and vanity owners in the sort of modern era, and certainly the one who did it the most successfully.
Which is, for all of the shit you can throw at Nigel Ray, I don't think that's why he's in it. That's not what he's in it for.
No, Nigel Ray has only become sort of increasingly more high profile over the last few years, as, you know, the South Africans sold up and Saracens have got themselves.
Like, it was just an exercise in his own ego from the get-go, wasn't it?
Massively. He did it because he loved rugby and he loved Toulon, but it was pure, you know, brand Mourad always came secondary to brand Toulon, I feel. And, yeah, you know, he did some horrendous things while he was in charge of Toulon, you know. The way that he treated players and the way that he talked about the players that he was paying was routinely fucking despicable.
Yes.
And, you know, he was a dickhead an awful lot. Occasionally, he was quite funny, though.
Yes.
And
his Twitter account was always disappointing. I can never forgive him for that. Remember, he appeared on Twitter and we thought, here it comes. Here yes, comes the fucking laugh.
Yeah.
And it never
happened.
Well,
he should have been the Donald Trump of rugby Twitter. And instead, yes, it was just really boring.
I expected the translate tweet button to be working overdrive. But no, it didn't. Okay, so there you go. Goodbye, Mourad. We hardly knew ye.
Indeed.
What are the news? Speaking of people that we know a bit better, Alex Cuthbert is injured again. Bless
indeed
him. And so is O'Flaherty, the other wingers. This could be a bit of a problem for Exeter, really.
Yeah, oh well, shame they've only got Stuart Hogg. yes, no, but shame for Cuthbert. You know, he's not had any luck.
Ollie Woodburn will get a start again now, won't he? So I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you would imagine they are.
Another low level news.
And particularly for O'Flaherty as well.
Yeah, he's had a great start to the season.
More low level. Yeah, he really has. Speaking of, you know, players who weren't very good at the Ospreys going away and making something better of themselves, Mike Ruddock is sort of in charge of the Ospreys, but only for a month, but not really in charge.
Is he? So literally, he's just living in the mumbles and had nothing better to do, basically.
Yeah, well, he's coaching Lansdowne RFC in Ireland, and the Ospreys have said that they've brought him in as a coaching consultant for 1 month, but Lansdowne RFC have gone, yeah, if it goes well, it'll be forever. so you know, even in the sort of epically, historically bad public relations schmozzle that the Ospreys have done over the last month, Yeah, they can't even get hiring a new coach right because they're claiming that he isn't the new coach yet because they haven't got rid of the old coach yet. Yeah, so it looks like they've done the obvious thing and gone, who will people have heard of? Mike Ruddock, all right, yeah, that'll do. And, yeah, all right, it's better than putting fucking, you know, Matt Sherritt and...
Do you remember when Leicester went on a worldwide headhunting journey to find their head coach?
And it was Leo Cullen.
This is kind of the... No, not Leinster, Leicester.
Yeah.
This is the sort of polar opposite of that, isn't it?
Well, no, this is actually more wide-ranging than what the Ospreys did last time when they promised, again, to do a global search to find the best candidate for the job, and the candidate had to be already sat in their changing rooms as their forwards coach.
Already sat in the changing room with a face like a bloodhound.
So at least they've gone for just somebody who's coaching, you know, in Ireland that hasn't had a top-flight job since he lost the Wales job. But
is genuinely bizarre with Mike Ruddock, actually.
It is.
How
and I think
much was his brand shat all over that he couldn't get another like proper
and I
job?
I always thought it was very unfair that he didn't get another crack at it, so I genuinely hope Mike...
I think he went from Wales to coaching Mumbles RFC for 3 years or something like that.
And then he was coaching Ireland under-20s for a while, and he's done a really good job at Lansdowne, and he's won various All-Ireland things, and... Yeah, it's weird that he's never had another go at it. But if there's any team,
he gets a go now.
Well, yeah, if there's any team that needs a go, like what he's very good at is kind of motivation and making teams kind of play for each other. And so, yeah, if he can do that at the Ospreys, that'll be quite a big part of the battle done because at the moment they look like they all hate each other, which I don't blame them to be honest because I hate them as well.
Joe Simpson signed a new deal at Gloucester. There's nothing more to be said about that, but all the best.
Yeah, who cares?
But speaking of deals that people do care about, Semir Andranda is on his way to Bristol.
Damn right he is.
Fantastic stuff.
What's weird is when is this happening? Because they're very
vague.
End of
the season, isn't it?
It's the end of the season. Because like they were like, oh, welcome Semir Andranda. It's like, well, you're not welcoming him yet. He's going to play for Bordeaux for another fucking 8 months, yeah?
He must get a bit more sun on his bones when he comes here.
Indeed. Fucking hell. But yeah, that's an absolute monster sign. And Pat Lam is saying that he wants to keep Charles Pietau as well. So he's out of contract at the end of the season. So, I mean that Pietau, Morahan... And Ranrada as a back three is just, I mean, this should be illegal.
In a Pat Lam back three.
In a Pat Lam back three, yeah. It's filth. Absolute filth.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bristol somehow not, you know, Pat Lam's insisting that they're nowhere near the salary cap at the moment.
I think, to be fair, if you look at a lot of that squad, it's not a great surprise. A lot of them are,
it is.
Like, you know... Welsh regional rejects and the like, aren't they?
That's very true. And I said so, but then I thought, don't forget about Ian Madigan, though.
Oh, yeah. It's very easy to forget about Ian Madigan, but yeah, don't forget about him.
Because he's currently starting, you know, he's basically currently starting in the A-League for Bristol. Man, because Johan Lloyd and Callum Sheedy are both ahead of him in the pecking order now. He is on... The rumour is, anyway, I don't know if it is, but the rumour is he's on 500k a year at Bristol, which is not Premiership Shield level money.
No, it's not.
It's really fucking not. So, yeah, I think they might have to find a way to shift him off the books before young Semi arrives, if they want to. But, yeah, you know, he's 30. Sure, somewhere... Ian Madigan can do a job for somebody. London Irish, for God's sake.
London Irish is sorted this weekend, but we'll come on to that in a minute.
Indeed.
Martin Williams is the Wales team manager.
Yeah, all right. I don't
Replacing
know what a team manager
Alan
does.
Phillips.
Yeah, I don't know what a team manager does anyway.
I thought
so
that
sure.
I was like, what is your job? I know they're very big on Lions tours. You know, they're a very big deal on Lions tours, but I don't know what they do.
Yeah, I literally... All I know is that he's always been there. You know, Alan Phillips is just like...
Was it Di Pickering before Alan Phillips? Was he a team manager or was he someone else?
Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? literally, who knows what a team manager does anymore?
I don't know. They had ones called Alan. They've now got one called Martin. It's like they're doing exclusively trading in 1970s names. That's the main qualification to get the job. But I'm sure. I mean, he's probably well respected. But again, what does the manager do?
I'm assuming
you must manage all the logistics, right? You must be the person in charge of the people who book flights and
surely
the kit man and stuff like that. I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, it's...
Anybody out there's a team manager knows what to do.
Please tell us. Yeah, we want to know.
Do you have to deal with people phoning up at 9:30 in the morning and going, oh, sorry, mate, I'm like, fucking hell, I drank a bit too much last night. I won't be there to play.
It probably is that, isn't it? You're basically...
Oh, fucking hell, Ken, seriously.
You're the adult. I spent too long in the spa last night. And I'm a bit dehydrated today as a result.
Wayne, you're going to have to go in a hooker. Oh, for fuck's sake, don't fucking have a go at me. Ken's fucking just phoned.
Into it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe that is just what it... Yeah, he's basically the sick note guy.
And the final bit of news from my point of view, which is probably the greatest news I've ever received in the whole of my life, is that everybody hates James Haskell now. Everybody does. I don't even know why. I just know I just know that they all do.
I went on the internet, and the first thing, I saw the internet, Twitter, the only thing on the internet that I bother going on most of the time. And I just saw James Haskell. I thought, oh, fuck me, here we go.
There'll be some heroic tale about how he's done something wonderful.
I was just like, okay, I'll click at it. And the first thing was someone calling him a cunt. I mean, this is great. This has gone extremely well.
So my greatest fear that everyone would think he was all right. I knew it. I knew I could trust the British public, at least in one thing. There's one thing I could trust the great British public in.
It's like his facade lasted, whatever it is, a week, 2 weeks. You know, it's like, and then all of a sudden, just, it breaks.
Don't even know what he's done, but I do know that everybody hates him now, and I've never been happier.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically done the exact opposite of what he hoped.
Yes.
It would do for his profile, in that he's made everybody think he's a total twat.
And given that everything that he's trying to make money on has got his name smashed all over it, it's a high-risk strategy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, best of luck, James. You can pull it back. I bet you won't. Narrator, he did not hope that he could pull it back.
Yeah.
Right, should we talk about a weekend now, or what? Is that what we're going to do now?
You might hear the word insolvency and think companies, but insolvency is just another term to describe serious financial problems for anyone. You could be insolvent if you can't pay your bills in full when they're due, you're paying a little off each bill trying to keep creditors at bay, or you've had calls and letters about missed repayments and threats of repossession. The Insolvency Service of Ireland, or ISI, has 4 debt solutions to help people with all levels of problem debt, from credit cards to mortgages. For more information, visit backontrack.ie or free text Get Help to 50015. The ISI. Together, we'll get you back on track.
As more sectors across Ireland are reopening, the COVID-19 pandemic unemployment payment is changing. If you're currently receiving this payment, the amount you receive will change from the 16th of November. To find out more about how these changes will affect you, visit gov.ie/PUP changes, a Government of Ireland initiative brought to you by the Department of Social Protection.
Is it just me, right? Or is this the most, like, meh, uninspiring season of rugby ever? Like, what's going on off the pitch all across the rugby world is 100% more interesting than anything that's happening on it, and everybody just feels like they're just sort of trapped in this post Rugby World Cup malaise, where there's just a sense of like phony war across all of the domestic leagues. Like, so many teams are under strength, or they're still integrating players back into their squads. It just It feels like fucking preseason, and I honestly feel like nobody cares. And I feel bad about that because there's been some really fucking great matches, and the tables look weird in the Premiership, and it's just like...
Well, the upside-down Premiership is fucking magnificent. Stranger Things 4 is this Premiership, yeah. Basically.
And yet, I just find myself going, eh, whatever. It just doesn't move me. This whole season has just totally just...
There is quite a large black cloud hanging over your season every week, though, isn't there?
Yeah, this thing, I don't know, maybe it is an Off the Ospreys fan in me being just in... But like, I just feel like nobody really is that bothered about what's going on yet. I feel like everyone's still waiting for the moment where the season starts, you know? Because everything's so bitty. And we've had like, oh, a couple of weeks of Premiership, a couple of weeks of Pro 14. Oh, now it's...
Not all the players are here.
Oh, the players are back again now. Oh, they've gone.
Are Saracens dock points? Are they not dock points? It's all, yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Like, it's all back and forth and up and down. And I'm waiting for it to happen, really. Maybe after this European doubleheader's over, we can actually get back into a proper stretch where players are actually playing for the teams they're supposed to be fucking playing for.
It feels like the rugby is back.
Yeah, and I've not really got that. Even in I thought Europe would do it, but the first European weekends were just kind of like, well, yeah, that broadly went as I expected it to. And yeah, I don't know. I just feel
French teams don't really feel like they seem to give a shit yet.
Oh, massively not at all.
You know, so yeah, I know what you mean. I'm not quite as fed up with it as you are, I don't think. But yeah, I can see what you said. It does feel a little bit like we're still waiting to go.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for it to start. I'm waiting for it to grab me. And
it feels
just
like there's an half-decent support act on, and they're all right.
Yes.
But you're waiting for the big band to come on, aren't you?
100%.
Yeah, what else have we got for the weekend? Well,
That said. Yeah.
Go.
A big team is going to get relegated this year.
Woof, they're going to get relegated.
But I don't think it's going to be Saracens, despite the 20-odd point deduction.
Well, Leicester, man. Leicester.
Bath and Leicester, man, it's all looking pretty fucking bleak.
See, I think that Leicester are going to have to look to Lavanini to sort this, right? Because, right, you can't be relegated, Leicester will say, if all of your opponents are dead. And I think that's where Lavanini comes in, because that's why they've signed him. We can't go down if everyone else is dead.
Also, you can't relegate us if all of our players are in prison.
Yes. We're going to drive a forfeit one way or the other, basically.
I tell you what, though. But to be honest,
that looks like a better fucking strategy than any of the rugby they're attempting to play right now.
Leicester are the only team that are even close to running the Ospreys for most dysfunctional team at the moment. Like, Leicester seem like an absolute mess. They're not Ospreys level mess yet, but they are an unbelievable mess. They're just shit. I can't believe how shit they are. The players that they signed this season, they've got no excuse for being this shit. At least the Ospreys have excuses for being that this much of a clusterfuck. Whereas,
yeah, you've got honestly, like 32 players injured. You nearly didn't exist last year.
Yeah.
And you've got a coach who runs on a fucking 9-volt battery by the looks of things. Yeah. So,
and a chief executive whose main experience before getting that job was running a pub in Neath. You know, it's
and people call the Pro 14 a Mickey Mouse thing. I can't believe that. I don't believe that it is, but it makes you realise why it's difficult.
It absolutely does, and like honestly, they should be any team that can afford to have Thomas Lavanini in it, both from a dangerous money point of view and a genuine, you know, paying for a player of that quality.
Can we just run through this team that they fucking played, by the way, on Saturday? This is the team they put. George Worth, who actually looked fair play to him, poor bugger, like he was doing his best at fullback.
He was.
Johnny May, Manu Tuilagi, Yako Torte, Jonah Holmes.
Fucking hell, stop there. Stop there. And a midfield of Yako Torte and fucking Manu Tuilagi, and somehow... Oh, anyway, carry on.
George Ford, Ben Youngs, Ellis Genge, Tom Youngs, Dan Cole, Lavanini, Callum Green, Harry Wells, Guy Thompson, Sione Calamifoni.
I mean...
Honest to God.
It's meant... Like, that team is fucking really good on paper.
Analysis, yes. That team is really good. That's the end of it, yeah.
You know, five of those players were involved in the Rugby World Cup final, like, a month ago or whatever. It was 3 weeks ago.
These returning England players will sort it, lads. It's not sorted it.
It's not sorting it, lads. What's happening here? You know, it's staggering how bad they are. Talent got. Like Wasps, you can sort of... Wasps are basically like, you know, like this. They're like when you go to Next after one of those, like, you know, when they have those stupid sales on Boxing Day where they open at like 5 in the morning. It's like Wasps are basically like walking into Next at like 4:45 on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
There's nothing left.
They've only got size 42 waist pants left, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like everything that's good is gone and everything that's left is either broken or shit.
Or extra, extra small.
Or extra, extra small, indeed. And there's nothing, you know, there's absolutely nothing Dai Young can do about that. You know, he is basically sat
there. You can't expect him to wear extra, extra small. Come on.
Fuck no. Come on. Have you seen him? But, you know, his squad is bad now. It's like, yeah, okay, they've got fucking Fekitoa and Sopoaga and
our Lord and Saviour, Mateo Menotti.
Mateo Menotti. They've signed good players, but you still look at that squad and you go, there's a lot of very meh players there.
Yeah, or meh and young.
Yeah, or both.
Yeah.
Although I must say, I am a very big fan of Dai rebranding the incredibly tedious concept that is the red zone. Which, of course, was nicked from the NFL. Yes. He described it as the green zone.
Brilliant.
Which, isn't that in Baghdad?
Yeah, wasn't that a place that was full of bombs?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of true for them, isn't it, really?
It's a film with Matt Damon. But yeah, he claimed that Wasps weren't good enough in the green zone on against Exeter on the weekend, which, I mean, is true. I don't know what zone...
I think he means the pitch. Yeah. The green zone is the pitch.
Yeah, the green zone is the green thing out there.
When we're in the brown zone, the grey zone, the concrete round the pitch, we look fucking great. As soon as we got on the green zone, terrible.
When we were on the bus, we were feeling really positive. But
so next week, right, we're thinking about painting the grass grey, see if that makes any difference. Turn it all into the grey zone.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but that's why I love it. But... honestly, like, Wasps, Bath and Leinster, how are they this bad? Genuine question. Like, Leinster
and Bath,
is just...
who coaches Leinster Bath, right? I'm sorry, right. Who is coaching Bath? Because I am fucking mystified as to who exactly is coaching them.
Well, it does... It puts
Stuart Hooper's in charge, is he coaching? I don't know.
Yes, apparently. But that's the... I mean... It kind of puts the whole Todd Blackadder wasn't getting enough out of this squad fucking argument into sharp relief, doesn't it? Jesus. It's like that guy's walked out the door and the wheels have just... I mean, the wheels haven't fallen off. They've just basically caught fire and then imploded. It's...
Yeah.
It's just... I mean, again, you know, that Bath squad is not as good as the Leicester squad. Comfortably not as good. You know, in terms of internationals that they've got access to, in terms of quality foreign imports, you've got to look at Bath and go, to be fair, you know, Talupe Faletau aside, they haven't exactly broke the bank on big name fucking signings from the Southern Hemisphere or anything like that. You know, they've got... I mean,
they've signed Jamie Roberts.
Yeah, and Ali Brew.
Will Chudley. All decent enough.
You know, you look at that Bath squad and you go, oh, yeah, no, that does make... I can understand why Bath is sort of slumming it in the lower reaches of the Premier. When you look at that squad and you go, yeah, they really haven't got a lot of fucking quality there, to be
Who's
honest.
The best player they've got? Francois Lowe, probably.
Yeah. Or Faletau when he's fit.
Faletau when he's fit.
They've got a really good back.
Watson when he's playing.
The problem is they've got, I would say, 5 good back rowers, which is too many.
Oh, Sam Endil's there as well, of course, isn't he?
Sam Endil's there. Zach Moose is there. Francois Lowe's there. Talupe Faletau's there. Mike Williams is quite good as well.
Yeah.
But then they haven't got any decent front rowers, really, or any really decent locks anymore. Charlie Ewells is all right. Elliot Stuke looks like he might be all right. Matt Garvey used to be all right.
Yeah, it's solid enough. It's all very solid. Tom Homer, at fullback. It's all very solid, but it's, yeah.
Yeah, there's a hell of a lot of 6.5 out of 10 players in that Bath squad.
Yes.
And there's not a lot of 8s and 9s. You know, Anthony Watson.
And then when you layer onto that the performances they're putting in, you knock another 2 points off everything across the board.
Absolutely. So, well, yeah. And you put just straight up not very good coaching, which appears to be what's happening.
But it can't be true because Stuart Hooper is the greatest human being that England has ever produced, according to reports. I'm sure he's a nice lad, but they've put a lot of faith in him, haven't they?
Therein lies the fucking rub, though, isn't it? I think they were lulled into the fact that he's really a nice bloke and a good bloke and speaks well.
I probably talks good strategy and all that. There's nothing wrong with that. You're going to do a bit of that, but yeah, maybe the reality is...
That does not a good coach make.
No plan survives contact and all that, and they seem to be struggling.
But yeah, so it's... The Premiership is silly this year, and fair play. Can we talk a little bit about how Northampton are fucking brilliant now?
Oh, yes.
It's almost like Chris Boyd has finally it's all kind of clicked, hasn't it? And they're just like porno rugby fun now.
After a long time of him probably going, no, lads, no, listen, that's not what I asked you to do. Seriously. I know it's hard, lads. I know it's really hard what I'm asking you to do. Trust me.
Dan, I know, can you just try not kicking it and running after it just one time and see what happens.
So we went on last week, were we? But Bigger was excellent the week we missed.
He was very good the week we missed. And then he didn't play this weekend. But again, they just seem to... They've got depth now of players that can actually do the business. And yeah, I mean, you look at that Saints squad and you just think, well, yeah, there's quality there. You know, they've got, you know, Gilbert Reinach is a very, very good player and a very exciting player. But, you know, they're not a team that's studded with global stars.
And Naivora was fucking amazing for the weekend as well.
Yeah.
See, there's a lot to be said for this fucking Rory Hutchinson, I'm telling you. He'll be in the Scotland squad soon.
Very, 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 very good.
And I think there's something about Boyd, isn't it? There's something about Boyd. He looks at players and goes, you're my kind of player. You're my kind of player, and I'm sticking with you. I think that's what Boyd kind of does. And I think this is why it's taken him a while, because he's had to evaluate the squad and go, I can work with you, I can't work with you, and then we'll build it around this, you know.
And there has been a certain level of kind of... And not so much, you know, they got rid of a lot of players at the end of last season, you know, and this season they, you know, Luther Burrell, Jamal Ford Robinson, Haskell, Heinrich Brousseau, Dylan Hartley, Ken Pesce, you know, a lot of that players that have kind of been stalwarts of Northampton for quite some time have gone, and the players that he's brought in, to be fair to him, have mainly been players from the academy who've been kind of, you know, obviously they signed Matt Proctor, who's going to be a fucking brilliant
fucking
player.
Dynamite, by the way. Yeah.
Unbelievably good. And they signed Owen Franks as well. But like a lot of the players that they've signed have been, you know, the academy boys that he's been working on for the last couple of years. Yeah. And they've got to the point where, you know, he's obviously happy enough with them. And it was the same with Pat Lamb. You know, Pat Lamb's been at Bristol for 3 years now. And the academy boys that Bristol have brought through this year, totally unheralded, you know, players like Ewan Lloyd, players like Callum Sheedy last season, you know, they are, after a couple of years of being schooled into what to do, by very, very good Southern Hemisphere coaches, all of a sudden they're turning up and they're playing Super Rugby. And fucking rock on, as far as I'm concerned. It's
excellent
brilliant
stuff. Speaking of Northampton or ex-Northampton players, this weekend, Stephen Myler is still doing Stephen Myler things at London Irish. Mainly, Stephen Myler things are, of course, looking like a peripheral Game of Thrones villain.
Absolutely, yeah.
And being sort of teeth-numbingly competent.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically... Stephen Myler is basically... Stephen Myler's haircut is Stephen Myler, isn't he?
You know, yes.
Absolutely zero nonsense. But, you know, entirely effective at what he's trying to
does
do.
Does the job.
Yeah.
No and, more, you know, no if, less.
If anyone on Bristol's side of the coin had had one-tenth of his goal-kicking ability...
One-tenth of his hair's solidity, then we'd be all right. You know,
Bristol have been very good from the tee this season, but they absolutely shat the bed, and that's why they drew. Which, I won, you know, it's not looking like they're going to regret drawing at home to London Irish and getting a bonus, you know, taking 3 points out of the game because they got a bonus point as well. But, you know, maybe they will. Who's to say? Well, this season is bonkers, so who knows? Anything could happen.
Tough weekend to be Welsh. From a club rugby point of view, Saracens. Scarlets got battered.
Everyone got battered.
Apart from
mate,
Cardiff. For... Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
they won away in Benetton, which is a fucking good result these days. Fair play.
It is. You know, they very nearly lost away at Benetton and they needed a last gap try and fair play. But, like, the WIU is determined to make life hard for the regions still. You know, nobody cares, of course. But, you know, three of the four regions lost at the weekend. One of them needed a last gap try to win against Benetton, and it's so inevitable. Everybody knew that most, if not all, of the regions were going to lose this weekend because all of their good players were with Wales.
Here's a question for you. Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Why did they play that Barbars game? Money.
Cash.
Money, right?
Yeah.
Fine. Understand that. You need money. Would they have... There were 62,000 people at that game on Saturday, give or take. There were 62,000 people... At Judgment Day when we went in April.
Yep.
So you could have had all of those players playing for their clubs all in one day in the stadium with the same attendance without having to pay the bar bars for all their whatever they cost.
Yep.
And probably still have made the same amount of money.
Yeah, but then you know, they would have had to give it all to the regions instead of being able to decide which tiny sliver of the cash of the money that they made that day.
I'm not saying we should do that every autumn, but there's something to be said about given post-World Cup nightmare and all that kind of stuff, it would have needed a little bit. That would have seemed like a reasonable... Because they're always saying, we've got to do this because of the money.
Yeah.
Judgment Day looks like it made the same amount of money. Probably people drank more at Judgment Day. So.
Yeah, and Wales tickets probably cost more as well, but, you know,
I'm not
still.
Sure for this game.
Yeah, maybe not even.
Ticket,
like,
must be about that.
I know that I could have got free hospitality because a person that I know who knows somebody that has a box couldn't find enough people to even quarter fill his box for that Barbarians game because nobody could be fucking bothered. And yeah, I mean, like, the Pro 14 doesn't matter to the WIU really. They don't care. The region's success doesn't matter to the WIU until they're using it as a stick to beat them with and tell them why they don't deserve any money. You know, it's just, it's broken. The whole fucking thing is broken. On the plus side, Wales played quite well against an incredibly inferior opposition. So, you know, happy days, everybody.
Yeah, I just think it was,
Turns out Sean Edwards is quite good at defence stuff and Byron Hayward is not. Shocker.
Anything else on the weekend for you?
A couple of things. Ulster.
Don't say it.
They're kind of legit, guys.
Oh, come on. Every Ulster fan now is something inside them just falling on its side.
I said you're kind of legit. I didn't say you had the best back line in Europe. But honestly, you know, they look like they are the package this season. Whether they're going up against Munster and Leinster level package yet, I don't know. But their forwards look very good. Dwayne Peel is doing a good job with the backs somehow.
The word going Billy forth Burton's from here that Ulster now known as the package, by the way. That needs to become a thing.
Ulster Rugby, the full package.
No, not even that, just the package.
Just the package.
Stand up for the package.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do we want to... I mean, we've been on for like 40 minutes now, or whatever, but do we want to talk about what's going on with the Ospreys at the moment? I feel like people
well,
are...
you might as well. I'll join in. I'll join in with laughs and the occasional piss take, probably, but go on.
Yeah, I mean, the Ospreys are, and I'm not saying this lightly, they are the most amateur and embarrassing professional... maybe professional sports team, not just rugby team, on the planet. They are a fucking disgrace.
Who was the fella in the press conference who looked like the PE teacher from Grange Hill?
Milward.
The bald one with the big beard.
Milward, yeah.
That's Milward, is it? Right.
Yeah, yeah. Used to run a pub.
And he looks exactly like he would as well.
Yeah. An incompetent man, as evidenced by the fact that he took over a team that was winning the Pro 14 and they now can't even sack a coach properly without doing something wrong so badly that that coach then manages to get the lawyers in for some constructive dismissal fun. So
that press conference was something else, wasn't it?
It's just the whole thing from the
start.
Well,
I thought that you lot asking questions about whether or not we actually have a coach and an event
really
that was about
that. you could that was probably the moment where I wondered whether I can still bother with the Ospreys while this, like, that moment just made me think, you lot are a bunch of fucking shithouses, and I don't want to do anything that keeps you basically ruining a fucking sports team. Because what they did last week, right? They sacked Alan Clark on Monday, but they seem to have told people outside of the camp and BBC Wales before they told him, which is, I mean, that's not the best way to do it.
It's not on, is it, really?
No. I've heard some pretty fucking gnarly things about how it was that Alan Clark found out, and it's fucking appalling. So then on Wednesday, there's a Pro 14 event at the Cardiff City Stadium. So, their coach that they have not, Schrodinger's fucking coach, that they have neither fucking sacked or not sacked. So instead, they send poor fucking Richie Pugh, who I don't even know. He is so... I don't know what he does.
So low down in the hierarchy that you've got no idea what he does.
Well, he was Wales' Sevens coaching staff. He's the contact skills coach. And they sent Richie Pugh, because they had to send a coach and a player. So they sent Richie Pugh, who's the skills coach, and James Hook, basically, into the firing line, where they hadn't officially announced. The news had broken 24 hours previously that they'd sacked the coach. They then send somebody so junior he might as well be making the fucking tea, and one of the most distinguished and talented players the region has ever had. And and they basically throw them to the lion's den and say, go on, boys, go and do this Pro 14 event for us. I'm sure nobody will ask you an awkward question. And that interview with Tal Setley and James Hook, like, made me fucking angry. Because James Hook shouldn't be sitting there with fucking 60, 70 caps for Wales, represented the Lions, played fucking hundreds of times for the Ospreys, is one of the region's leading point scorers ever. And he has to sit there like a cunt, let's be honest, in front of journalists who are just asking perfectly reasonable questions like, has your coach been sacked? And he has to sit there in a chair.
Do you think,
like,
they honestly thought that if we send these two, then the journalists might not ask? Do you think they're so amateurish that that's what they actually thought?
Well, that's the thing. It's either that, or they just went, fuck it. Let them answer the tough question.
I mean, whichever way it ended up, it's fucking
anywhere
ridiculous.
Anywhere on that scale, it's fucking absurd. Yes. So they had Tal Setley, a man who's barely done a press conference in his life, the poor fucker, and sitting there basically... Sorry, Richie Pugh, just like... I always used to get them mixed up when they played together. It's weird, isn't it? Yeah, you know, he's basically had to sit there and just be like, oh, we've been told to say no comment. There's nothing to say. I don't know any more than you. No, it was so awkward and so horrible and so unfair that they just put those two players, you know, a hugely respected fucking senior player and a rookie coach in that position instead of fucking Millwood or somebody else who's actually involved in there going down and actually fronting up to the fucking
media.
Well,
that was a journalist's fault, Josh. Don't you know that? He's made that quite clear.
To have the temerity to fucking blame the journalists for asking the questions is just, it's honestly the entire. This Rob Davies says that they're going to have a fucking root and branch fucking overhaul and review of the entire rugby structure. The first thing they should do is fucking sack everyone that's currently involved. I'm talking about fucking Millwood,
scorched earth job,
Jamie Rees. Well, they're all just. It's jobs for the boys shit over there, and it's been the case for years. And it's finally come home to roost that their colossal mismanagement can no longer sort of be outweighed by the talent of the players underneath them. And, yeah, you know, they can't sack a coach properly. They have a commercial team that are so bad that the Ospreys' main sponsor this year is a company that's owned by one of the several members of the board because they couldn't find a fucking main sponsor. So they're basically paying themselves for the sponsorship this year. They're losing money every time they play at the Liberty Stadium because it costs them like 17 grand or something. So they're going to move to the Knoll next year because they've got nowhere else to go. It's an absolute... And they can't even spell their own players' names right in their press releases because they sacked the decent fucking press officers last year because they had opinions. It's...
I'm sorry to laugh. It's an incredulous laugh.
It's absurd. It's funny how bad they are at everything. Like, I even before all this broke, I just every time they released a press release, I just couldn't help but just be appalled at both the spelling and just the wrong thinking of everything. And it just gets worse and worse every week. And the Ospreys, if Rob Davies wants to keep pumping money into the Ospreys to keep him afloat, fair play to him. But if I was him, I'd just take... He came in after the whole fucking merger fiasco last year. And I think he thought, I'll pump a couple of million quid in for a couple of years until this fucking British and Irish League, which he just leaked straight off the fucking bat, by the way.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure nobody told him to do that. Until the British and Irish League thing happens, and I'll pump a couple of million quid in to get us back to the point where we're decent, and it'll be fine. And what's happened is Rob Davies has walked in there and gone, oh, fuck. This isn't throw a couple of million quid at it. This is this entire fucking region needs to be root and branch fucking torn up and started again. And I don't see any fucking solution to it beyond fucking, as you say, scorched earth. Burn the whole fucking thing down and leave nothing but fucking black blood or whatever the shit that
some
nonsense
people, some that's people, Martha Bruce, just like to watch the world burn. Yeah. And all of that. Right then.
Yeah.
Do you need a minute?
I let the Liberty burn. Except, no, it's fine. On the flip side, Edinburgh, right?
Yeah.
The post-pad shifting antics. A lot of criticism for that. I loved that. I thought that was entirely right. Just why isn't it allowed?
Safety, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but the reason that they have pads on posts, right, is for player safety, right?
Yeah.
But how is a player going to injure themselves if the ball is basically moving 6 inches forward? You know, it's basically to stop players running into posts and injuring themselves, surely. That's why a post pad is there.
Mm-hmm.
But what a post pad does is create a huge advantage for an attacking team because they've got a fucking foot square of fucking foam that they could just put the ball against and score. So what they do is basically removing that and saying, you know what, the only thing you've actually now got a clearer path to the line, but we actually have the ability to stop you.
I do think that 8 very large men falling on top of you while you're leaning against a kind of narrow piece of metal might do some harm. Well, that's it. That's all you're offering, is it? Nah.
I think it's in the spirit of the law to throw that post pad away because ultimately it is an encumbrance to the defence.
I kind of laughed when I first saw it, but it was a bit like, oh, hang on a minute. You just can't remove safety equipment in any other place of work, really. You can't do it. So I don't think you should be able to do it in this scenario.
Yeah, I think it's entirely acceptable shithousery in my pants. But
I don't think you intend to injure anybody to that point of view, but the ref should have gone, look, right, put it fucking down. Rather than a penalty. Yeah.
I mean, as we discussed, you know, about 5 minutes ago, I just want to see the world burn now. So,
should we do shit good, speaking of...
Yes, yeah, you should.
David Pritchard, before we start this, David Pritchard gets in touch and says, can we get some sense of whether we are dropping in on Faf after he'd scored falls on the shithouseometer? It's a straight-up cunt trick, by the way.
Yeah, 100%. 100% doesn't matter straight away. Any context, if you are fucking cheap-shotting somebody after they scored a try, cunt trick.
Yeah, end of.
Yeah, no discussion at all.
Thank you. What else? So, should we do shit first?
Yes.
Have you got any shit, or are we going to go straight to the lovely... Friend of the pod, Jamie Phillips, long-suffering Dragons fan, who's not suffering quite as much this season, did say, yeah, it was crap, but he's still not that worried. It's still a decent start to the season, as far as he's concerned.
Well, to be honest, it's a nice change as an Ospreys fan to somebody else to deal with the shit of every good player in your fucking team gets ripped away at a moment's notice to serve Wales, and then you have to fucking cobble together a team to play somebody like Zebra at home, and you get battered. Because all of your good players are currently fucking playing in a pointless game in the Millennium Stadium. Yeah, so from that point of view, enjoy that, Dragons fan. Your golden generation that's coming through will be useful for you for roughly 15 games a season. Enjoy it.
Or they'll be injured.
Or they'll be injured. Or both.
Dave James gets in touch and he says, it's been a long time since I've participated in this, but I can't believe how utterly shit the Ospreys are. Not even just on the pitch, the whole institution is utterly fucked. Cue Josh Rant. Well, we've already done it.
So
if you
want
to listen to it again, you can go back, Dave. But Ian Alexander says, shit, I mean, Josh Gardner will substantially cover the Ospreys. Yes, he already has. He said, but that press conference they held, poor Lydiate's face throughout it, but also that fucking weird video Millward released via the club.
Oh, yeah, he did. He went full Pravda beforehand, didn't he? Just to fucking rub it in.
Once again, the Ukrainian wheat harvest has broken all records.
For benefit of glorious Mother Australia.
Why would he give us any answers? Because sometimes the people must be protected from jeopardising the fruits of their own labour. What have we got? Okay, John Burton gets in touch. How have Leicester Tigers managed to make some of the best players in England so unbelievably fucking terrible? If only we'd been relegated last year, we'd have to endure this again. Yes.
Yeah.
Marty gets in touch. He says, people who preface a statement with, well, I was at the game, as if that gives them an infinitely better negative positive viewpoint and corresponding judgment over the bazillion BT camera angles that I'm watching on my TV. Full stop. Fucking do one. Marty, I don't think we've heard from you before, but I could see why you listen to us.
You're fucking one of us, mate.
That is a wonderful, fucking wonderful rant. Thank you very much. Being at the game does help sometimes because you do actually see the shape more and you can see the gaps more. That is true.
Sometimes, yeah.
But you can't see the fucking close-up stuff. Forget that. You've got no idea.
If you're talking about anything that's going on in terms of individual player performance or, yeah, as you say, it's an overview stuff, yeah, maybe, because you can look at
stuff.
You can
see some off-the-ball work rate a bit more if you can see the whole pitch. That helps. But generally speaking, I'm with you, Marty. But even if I wasn't with you, the rant is so beautiful that I want to come on your side anyway. So
yeah. Shit for me.
Yeah.
Ex-players whinging about eligibility rules. Honestly.
And we missed this because we should have been on this last week, but obviously we missed it.
Today as well.
Is it? Who is it now?
Adrian Hadley banging on about how Johnny McNichol doesn't deserve to play for Wales because he's not really Welsh. Just fuck off the pair. Like, whether it's the Halaholo shit, whether it's the, like, it's none of your fucking business. It's the fucking rules. Like, stop making it about, if you don't like the rules, say you don't like the rules. Don't use fucking Johnny McNichol or Willis Hallahola or Gareth Anscombe or fucking whoever, Bundy Aki, to fucking... It's not fair. Like, it's
I got into a discussion with the Egg Chasers account on this one last week. It was actually, which was all very civil. We agreed on some bits, not on others. I know it's a remarkable thing for the internet, but we did kind of, you know. But I do, there is far too much blood and soil type language that emerges.
Oh, yeah.
When these things start being discussed, don't they?
Yeah, and it's just like,
and I'm not suggesting
care?
That people think that, but it's worrying language. It doesn't really apply anywhere else apart from sport, which is really odd. Well, where it does apply somewhere else is with fucking people who are unhinged.
Yes.
But when it comes to sport, quite not, relatively normal people start using very, very language they would never use elsewhere. It's really odd.
Language of ethnocentrism that is kind of
blatant, weird, blood and soil nationalism, basically.
Yeah, it's not very nice, and who cares? Because it's fucking a kid's game.
And people say, well, I just, you know, surely they'd rather play for X team. I said, well, maybe they would have done 10 years ago and now they don't. Because they've lived here for a period of time. That's fine, like,
Willis Hallahola's got two kids that were born in Wales.
Why is it bullshit that somebody can live somewhere for 3 years and then want to play for the team? Then some people say, isn't that what club rugby's for? You can travel abroad and... Well, yeah, but... What, who are you to dictate how somebody feels about anything?
And
it does reek of this. You have to demonstrate how much you love my country before you're allowed to be part of it. You know, it's...
Yeah.
It's quite worrying.
It's the thing that sort of weirdly Gatland said when he was interviewed before the game, where he was like saying what advice he'd give to Johnny McNichol. And he was like, oh, make sure you learn the anthem properly because people notice that. And it's like, what does it fucking matter? You know, I don't get me wrong. I like it when players make an effort, you know, particularly given that it's Welsh Welsh, you know, I like that players make an effort to learn to sing the national anthem because I think it's a nice gesture on their part. But like, I don't give a fuck if they sing it or not. Like, if they're committed to Wales enough to want to fucking pull on the national jersey, then fair play to them. Like, I just, as you say, it brings out a sort of a language and a train of thought that would be entirely unacceptable in any other fucking... If you applied it to any other kind of nationality and national identity thing.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, some people consistently have that view and that's their view. That's fine. But it's people... Yeah, you wouldn't normally use it about working here or living here and marrying somebody here.
I mean, how many times do you hear people sort of desperately unfunny people sort of make jokes about sort of, oh, that doesn't sound like a very ex-nationality name. You know, Falato, where in the Wales is that from? Fuck off, you absolute cunts. But like, you wouldn't say that about somebody who was just fucking, you know, a doctor.
No.
Or was, you know, was working in a call centre or something. You know, why is it acceptable for... I find it so fucking reductive, and
more than anything, it's a fucking terrible joke. Sort yourselves out.
An awful joke, incredibly bad joke.
Yeah, so there you go.
Do better.
Shit.
Yeah.
Mitch Evans gets in touch, and he says, "Shit is Israel Folau trying to milk rugby Australia for $14 million, saying that he should have been the Wallabies captain." Now, ladies and gentlemen, you need to be very clear on this, right? Because it's a tricky thing. The will of God is a tricky thing, right? When it comes to Israel Folau. Because it was God's will that he gets sacked.
Yeah.
He was clear on that. That's what God wants. That's fine. It was then God's will that he sued them.
Yeah.
It now seems that we didn't know this, but we've now found out that it was probably God's will that he was going to be made captain.
Yeah.
How that fits with God's will of him being sacked, I don't know, but it was God's will he was going to be made captain. However, it was then God's will that he shouldn't play for Australia anymore because that's not going to happen. However, it is very clearly God's will. It's very important we understand this. It's very clearly God's will that he still gets the money.
I mean,
God's will is a weird thing, isn't it? You know, people do spend a long time. There's monks now in contemplation trying to understand God's will. And you can see why. Because look how much it changes, you know? What a fucking prick this guy is.
Yeah, he honestly makes him more... It's genuinely really sad when you see what he's become.
It is Westboro Baptist Church level unhinged.
Yeah, he's gone full. Yeah. And it's like, it's fundamentalism in the most ugly sense.
Yeah.
And
they no doubt see him as a gigantic fucking cash cow as well, don't they?
That is the other thing. It's like there is a sense that everyone around him is thinking, oh, well, we fucked this. How can we get money out of him? Well, we can sue the ARU and claim that he's going to be Wallabies captain and win the Rugby World Cup. And it's like, it's just so... When you think about the bloke that was like on the front cover of, you know, a magazine in Australia promoting the bloody Bingham Cup 5 years ago.
Yes.
It's so...
It is sad. He's allowed to have his views, of course he is, but it's...
Yeah,
it's
but what's happened to him is sad, but now fuck him, he's a twat.
Hugh gets in touch, he said, shit, is the watery hot chocolate offered at the Ames Park? The stand's all frankly disappointing, considering that the food stalls are booming in the city. He said the beer's shit as well. Well,
I mean, let's be honest, anything that isn't a brand new stadium in Wales is... They also went back to the Knoll on the weekend and maybe going back there permanently. I dread that they're going to need to do a lot of work on the Knoll before they make that a professional level rugby ground again. But the Arms Park is basically like that and still is.
Mm.
Like, the Arms Park has some of the worst toilets I've ever experienced in the Western world. It's... But I like that. I don't want fucking craft beer and artisan food stalls in my rugby grounds. I want it to smell a piss and to be offered nothing but John Smith's or Carling.
I mean, I must say that since I've stopped drinking, one of the nicest things about it is that I don't have to attempt to endure the shit that comes out of the pumps at sports grounds. I can just quite happily have a Pepsi Max or whatever.
There's loads of good... If you want to get a nice pub in Cardiff, there's loads of them. I don't care about, like, I'm happy to, I enjoy shit beer and shit food at sports grounds, because for me that is part of the, that's like why I enjoy standing, even though it's stupid, because sitting is infinitely more comfortable. You know, it's part of the magic of being a sports ground attendee, surely.
I remember when they knocked down the old National Stadium, and a lot of people were kicking off, you know, because change is bad, And somebody did a WIU interview. He said, well, why are you doing this then? He said, why can't you just like redevelop? He said, because, and why can't you just leave it? He said, look, you need to understand that this stadium has two women's toilets in it and no disabled toilets at all. It's like, yeah. Okay, yeah, all right, fair enough.
Yeah, it's like for that level, certain accommodations have to be made. But, you know, I say just keep it as spit and sawdust as you like in the... Yeah.
What else have we got here then? Shit. Jay Kaczynski. I hope that's right. I hope you're no relation to the Unabomber, Jay. He said, said, shit, is Leicester 7 metres made by Tuolangi? What the fuck? 7 metres. I mean, Matt Proctor's Andy, but Christ. Yeah. Tom Dare gets in touch. Leicester's line out, he says. How on earth a professional side 2 months into the season can have a set piece that bad? I cannot fathom. It was like watching a club third game when none of the players had met or played before. It was really bad.
It was exceptionally bad, let's be honest. But
yeah.
Funny if you don't like Leicester.
I mean, it is hilariously funny.
Which a lot of people don't, to be fair.
But I do like them enough this year to win more and to somehow make Saracens go down. That would be really funny. But yeah, that's not going to happen, is it?
Really funny.
Frank Ridgen gets in touch and said, shit, is rumours of the new British and Irish League. I'm not a fan, plus it would kill off the Heineken Cup. Although, imagine the discussions around arranging a salary cap for all of the sides. Yeah, it's gathering momentum, isn't it?
Something isn't... We have not seen the end of all this by some fucking distance.
It's going to be 1998 all over again, Josh.
According to Rob Davis, we've got 2 years before the British and Irish League happens, which, you know, seems ambitious. Like, how badly
they have to convince Ireland to do it, aren't they? Wales are a fucking afterthought in this, let's be honest. Wales have to go whichever way Ireland want to go. And I'm not trying to be awful, that's just the truth of it.
Once CVC gets involved, Ireland are going to have to fucking get in or get the fuck out, aren't they?
Mm.
You know? And that's the, you know, it, and it will not matter. You know, a lot of fans, both English and Irish, have gone, I don't want anything to do with that. And to them, I say, congratulations, you've just sold any share you had to CVC Capital. And they now own whatever it is, 27%
of
the league.
And they'll also probably broker an offer you can't refuse. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Even that, you know, they'll bring you something that can't be turned down. So,
yeah, they'll say, we'll make you very, very, very rich, or you can fuck off. And the only response there is to be made very, very rich. So,
well, their job is to increase income and take 30% of it.
Yeah.
That's what their job is. So,
I talked to Formula One fans about how much of a say they had in the massive changes that were made to the sport entirely for TV.
Yes.
You know, it's we're beyond that now. Anyway.
Anyway, Oliver McGrath said, shit as elf on the shelf memes. They just are.
Yeah, agreed. Don't know what that is.
When did they become a thing, by the way?
It's
why didn't we have a fucking referendum about that? About whether or not we could have Elf on the fucking shelf? Because we could have sorted that out too sweet, couldn't we? But also, I mean, I like, me and you, we're the fans of America, aren't we? Me and you.
I'm an Americophile, if that's a word.
I do not like this American. If I want American things, I will go to America, and I think it's wonderful. I do not like the Americanization of here. The biggest thing is the sad demise of the fucking two-finger hand insult. The rise of the bird at the expense of the two-finger hand insult truly, truly upsets me.
50% less digits, though, you know. Efficiency.
It's just, no, I'm not having it. There's some things that make it great to be British, and
the
fact
really,
that
it's really easy to flick the Vs, right? Nobody does that wrong, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Everyone flips the bird wrong. It's like, some people do that, some people do that, some people do that. Like, it's like, you don't know what it looks like. Nobody seems to know. Like, you knew where you were with the Vs. Exactly. We're just flicking Vs at each other.
It generally makes me giggle, the Vs.
Yeah, and it's also, that feels more like serious, whereas flicking the Vs is
like, fuck
funny.
Yeah. Anyway. Bath Bites gets in touch, last shit of the day, and says, shit, is Bath having a decent platform from the forwards and some top-class back three options only to have their half-back pairing that makes a constipated sloth look rapid and inspiring? Yes. He said, however good is it Leicester, because they're making Bath fans feel a little bit better. Might not last forever, that, though, Bath Bites. Good. Have you got any good?
Justin Tipperich, or Tipperich, I should say. He I think Wayne Pivak's...
He would say Tipperich, though, apparently, wouldn't he? He says we all get it wrong.
He dropped his... when his I think, basically, after about 15 or 20 years of nobody in Wales pronouncing it properly, they actually just now pronounce it Tipperich.
Apart from his Croatian granddad.
Apart from his Croatian granddad, probably, yeah. But, yeah, I think Wayne Pivak's more... judging from the very limited evidence of the game on the weekend... I think Wayne Pivak is going to get him more involved in the fun way than just tackling fucking balls off way that he used to under Gatland. Like, he was doing lots of nice little sort of... Do you honestly, Wales were doing a lot of like doing that one-up runner thing, but then just passing to the man outside, which never happened under Gatland, ever. It was, you know, you truck it up and then you go to the ground and you recycle, whereas there was quite a lot of altering of the point of contact, and Tipperich is... absolutely the best fucking, like, you know, loose forward in the world for doing that.
It's a shame they're going to get that going at exactly the right time that they won't be able to tackle anymore, isn't it? That's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame. We're going to have to win every game 50-47, but
I think you're providing.
I mean, it'll be entertaining.
I think you'll find it's pronounced Pivac. It's not. I've got no idea. Tom Halley gets in touch, and well, actually, he emailed me on Saturday, and I respect this. He took a photo of his telly email me because somebody in the Bath crowd was holding up the Saracens honesty value sign with the badge on it right in front of them on Friday night, which is fair dues. That's fantastic work by whoever that Bath fan was. Grant Taylor gets in touch. He says, good, it's my son Mark Taylor, age 12. Okay, so not that one then. Yeah, he said, ball boy for Percy Park RFC, relentlessly shit-outing the Morley hooker by giving him the muddy ball and generally winding him up at every line-out they had. He's like a sponge soaking up shithousery. Now, you see, a lot of people say you want your kids to learn how to pass and be a gentleman and all that. No. I'm with you, Grant. This is what makes, you know,
life skills.
Life skills. James Reese gets in touch and says, good is Harry Thacker. Insane yes. stats rocker. You think Leicester could do with him back, by the way? Whisper it.
Well, Pat Lamb quite pointedly was like, yeah, Harry Thacker wasn't getting a game at Leicester and we offered him a route out. Lol. He may have added under his breath. Yeah, great player. Genuinely fucking... I mean, thing is, Harry Thacker's looked like the fucking bollocks since the first time I saw him, because he looked like a hooker who actually knew how to do the rough stuff, but was also, you know, Shark Brits-esque dynamic.
And looked a little bit like a black metal bassist.
Absolutely he does, yeah.
Stu C gets in touch and said, shit was Edinburgh looking poor against Munster second. He says, but good was the top Edinburgh shithouse over lifting the covers on the post. Well, we got that one. He said, but the goodest, though, was the Munster Twitterati bad boys of rugby losing their fucking minds over the post thing. Calling in for points deductions and knowing they'd fucking love it if Peter O'Mahony had done it.
I mean, if nothing else this season, we have demonstrated quite conclusively that the Munster Twitterati have absolutely no sense of humour or sense of perspective, and that in itself is a gift. I tell you what I enjoyed a great deal. Did you watch any of the Barbarians Women versus Wales match on the weekend?
Are we talking about the in-play line-out move?
Yeah, right I am. Yeah. I mean...
Off a free kick. They set up a three-woman line-out off a free kick.
I don't know why it happened, but I'm delighted it did. It's one of the strangest things I've ever seen.
I've literally never seen that happen ever before.
Because it doesn't have any useful purpose. No. Just passing the ball wouldn't have had.
Because somebody said, maybe you were just trying to set up a line-out move. See, but they could have just tapped it and done the same move off the back.
So I know. It doesn't make any sense. It strikes me as the greatest thing ever. Thought about something way too much. But I'm into it.
More insanity.
We haven't had time to practice any free kick moves, but we have practiced that line-out move. I mean, should we just do that? Yeah.
Excellent work, everyone.
I love it.
Curtis Neese gets in touch and he says, good is James Grayson turning George Ford inside out for 80 minutes, having stepped in for Bigger after not even being named in the 23, a chip off the old block. Because he is, if anyone doesn't know, he's Paul Grayson's son.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, magnificent performance. But again, like everything we said earlier, Boyd's obviously got an entire pool of players who play the way he wants them to play and they're ready to go.
Yeah, and I just think this is going to be a fun season for Northampton fans, however it goes. I think they're building a really, really interesting sort of squad for the future with these young players coming through that look just really exciting and really fun.
Sam Marsh gets in touch. He says that good is Gordy Reid saving a man from a burning building. Did you see?
Yes!
He said shit was the fact the man ran away afterwards. Tony McNeil said the same thing. He said good was Gordy Reid saving a man from a burning building, then videoing himself while on oxygen. He's fucking out. This happened not long after the Joe Marler horse interview. It was a wonderful couple of days for front rowers, wasn't it? Gordon Reid doing that and then Joe Marler's horse interview.
Yeah, Joe Marler's horse interview, right? Horses. Yeah.
That horse interview was... A lot of people said he sounded a bit like David Brent. I don't think he did sound that much like David Brent, actually.
I think people just say that about British people who are being sort of deadpan.
The genius of it was the one that he kept it completely straight. And then at the very end, when they said, so will you be on a horse? He went, I don't like horses. I don't like to go on them.
I don't like horses. Honestly,
and that was off. That was fucking brilliant.
It's a proper fucking bit. And that's why they, like, genuine, properly brilliant comedy. Because it's not just like, a lot of rugby players are funny. A lot of athletes are funny. A lot of people are funny. But that was, you know, a genuinely... And you can see that he didn't intend to go there.
There's a moment where you can see things. I'm fucking bored with this. You can see the change in his face.
Where he switches. Yeah, where you can tell that it's the moment where he goes, he basically messes up the you can lead the horse to water, you can't make it drink.
He just thinks, fuck it, I'm going with this.
And he just goes, fuck it, I'm going with this. Yeah, why not? And then, you know, there's so many lovely little moments. It's an Irish horse is glorious.
Yeah.
But then it is that, it's Tap-esque in its,
yeah,
the interview going, so do you
will you be going on the horse then, Joe?
Horse. And he's like, no, I don't like horses. It's, yeah, that punchline and, yeah, the delivery of it is so fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, I've watched it about 200 times and I'm off every single time. Because
and it's a totally straight face.
Timing.
Doesn't smile or anything. Because how he didn't, at the end when he said, I don't like horses, I don't go on them. How he didn't then smile. And actually, while he's delivering the whole, like, the horse does this, horse does that, the camera crew are pissing themselves.
And
at no,
yeah,
point does he, because I'd end up just, yeah, fucking laughing to myself. I'd have corpsed it. But he, not that I'd even thought to do it in the first place, by the way, but I'd have corpsed at that point if it was me. He just kept, it was just fucking brilliant. And a lot of people are going, hey, wasn't that funny? No, it fucking was. That is brilliant.
Yeah. It's this sort of, it's the totally, like, it's the deadpanness of just, like, the matter of factness of, yeah, I don't like horses. And just the look of total dead sit, like, honestly, yeah, it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in terms of just, like, a beautifully constructed comedy sketch.
Yeah. It was like a really well-written scene from a mockumentary. That's why it reminded 100%. Me of Brent.
It was Tap. It, yeah, was Tap-esque.
Yeah. Or Parks and Rec or something. It was like, yeah, one of those... Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. We missed all this last week, so we're going over it now. Yeah. So sorry about that. Barbed Quill gets in touch and says, good as Matt Proctor, he's only got one All Black cap and yet produced one of the definitive Premiership centre performances for Northampton Saints. Yes, he's very good,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, he's poppers. Yeah.
And finally, Alex McKee gets in touch and says, good as Marcel Curtsey and his magnificent buffalo-like hindquarters, turning the Scarlets team into a fine Welsh paste. Yeah, it was tough being a Scarlet this weekend, wasn't it?
It was. And Curtsey... It basically, he started the season exactly like a man just missed out on winning the World Cup because he got injured in the last warm-up game. Should play. You know, he is, there's a lot of pent-up anger that's going into his performances at the moment, and Ulster are absolutely reaping it.
That's us.
Fucking better I'd be, yeah. It feels like we've been...
We're about to start late, so we finished even later. So...
I feel like I've been ranting for hours, which is not unusual.
You've got it out of your system, though, Josh. You've had it out your system. You can rest easy tonight now. You've got it all out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much, everybody. We'll be back. Patrons out there, we'll be back later this week when we have a chat with our Tony, and we'll speak to you soon. Take care, everybody. Indeed. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
As more sectors across Ireland are reopening, the COVID-19 pandemic unemployment payment is changing. If you're currently receiving this payment, the amount you receive will change from the 16th of November. To find out more about how these changes will affect you, visit gov.ie/PUP changes, a Government of Ireland initiative brought to you by the Department of Social Protection.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.